Okay, here's our show with Mark Scott. He's an author. He's also a CFO.
Yeah.
And we don't really quite get into that with him. But he was a very measured and yet kind of spunky individual. There was like a good mix of him being kind of directly talking about his books and also just kind of dropping in these kind of funny comments. And I think for people with that kind of humor, they'll find the show interesting and funny.
Yes. And I really invite people to check out his books. I love his writing style. He's talking about, you know, we get to have a really beautiful glimpse into Cincinnati. And he's talking about death and suicide and just a lot going on. And it's a really, they're a good read. I highly recommend it. And his website is markescottauthor.com. He's a good one. And really excited to share the show with everyone. Hey, check it out. Discover the perfect routine to stay in shape and find your inner peace this holiday season with Strains of the Earth Sanctuary. Find the perfect balance with our diverse range of yoga classes, rejuvenate your mind and soul with our meditation retreats, and experience the soothing power of sound healing and so much more. Are you looking for a place to host your next holiday get-together? Our sanctuary space is now available to rent for all the celebrations of your life, whether it's a birthday party, holiday celebration, work event, or just because. We have you covered. Join us in Jordan, Minnesota, and treat yourself to a holiday season filled with relaxation and rejuvenation. Sign up for your next class online now or reserve the studio at MNSOTESANCTURY.com. Join us and discover your inner zen amidst the holiday chaos at MNSOTESANCTURY.com. That's MNSOTESANCTURY.com.
Welcome to the Being Curious Show. I'm Brian Mariani, founder of No Shift Own.
And I'm Kelly Wagner, publisher of Edge Magazine. Our show is about curiously connecting teachers and seekers on a wide range of topics in a safe space. Few topics will be off limits, and we have some amazing guests to share with you.
Our intention is that our conversations will spark your own curiosity to create a life that lights you up and inspires you to be kind, thoughtful, open-minded to yourself and others.
So, Brian, what are you curious about today?
Okay, Kelly, here is what I'm curious about.
That I'm in the jungle?
Special, well.
I'm in the jungle today. Sorry.
We could talk about that if you want.
Cue the Guns N' Roses.
Of your setup there in studio. But seriously, do you have a special dish that you're known for making over the holiday season?
Dude, I wish you would have had me Yeah.
I feel like just thought of like so many other things that people have made that you're like, ooh, I like those.
Okay, I'm going to give you three.
This was a question for you.
This is quick. There's three. And they're all inspired by other people. Okay, first one, Carney Wilson from Wilson Phillips.
Okay, yeah.
Bigger girl. Gotta love her. She makes a macaroni and cheese that has, no lie, 11 different kinds of cheeses in it. And you'd think it sounds obscene, but they like harmonize together. So if I'm in that mood, there's that. Then there is that when I worked at Best Buy in the promotions and events area, we did a little cookbook, a BBA cookbook, and there is this dip called beer dip, and it's cream cheese, powdered ranch dressing, and a half can of beer. Whip it up, put it with anything, pretzels, salt and vinegar chips, all that. Every single party I bring that to, people ask me for the recipe, and it's super simple, but it's amazing.
Okay, send that to me.
I will.
I want all of these.
They're really good. And then another one, I went to a carving class, like how to cut a turkey up and how to cut a filet up and how to cut up a chicken. And it was really cool. It was a nice skills class, and it's called Toby's I forget the name of it, but it is thinly sliced filet mignon on baguettes. And then you have this like horseradish creamy sauce and then like some special like basil and herbs. And you just make them like little bite-sized pieces. And it's just flipping to die for and glorious. So those are my three things. Thank you,
oh,
sir.
Yeah, I mean, that's a three-course meal right there.
It's amazing.
You start with the mac and cheese.
Oh, yeah.
You get some beer dip.
Gosh.
And then you finish it off with some filet on... It's like...
Little baguettes.
Like a little... like a croquette, you said, right?
Yeah, it's like these little things that you can just kind of like...
Yeah.
Just chomp on. And it's its own meal. And then you can end with beer dip as well, too. I mean, it's just...
Oh, yeah.
It just keeps
just
on giving.
It
and it's even good the next day. So, like, yeah, all of that is just amazing.
You heard it here, everyone.
Don't tell your dad. Don't tell your dad about any of those.
Kelly Wagner's keys to holiday success.
And that's how you gain 10 pounds over the holidays.
Well, I know we're excited to get started with our guest today. So who is with us today, Kelly?
Today we have novelist and chief financial officer Mark E. Scott. He is an author of Drunk Log and First Date, two of the three books in a trilogy, in a beautiful series. It's very, very powerful. He's working on the third book. I think he's doing all the back end stuff on that. So really committed. And the book series is about two lost people finding each other during a literal and metaphorical storm. It's really true. Together, they navigate their way through these parallel storms and begin to heal each other in the process. Shall we welcome Mr. Mark to the show?
Let's do that. Welcome, Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Hello. This is my princess wave.
Oh, I love your princess wave. Right?
Exceptional.
And then you can do the elbow, elbow, wrist, wrist, right? I have been in parades, and I've emceed parades. So I was schooled by Princess Kay of the Milky Way in one, and she showed me how to do that.
I think there's a class to learn that.
The queen mom does it like that? I forget what it's like turning on the light bulb or something. I don't know. I didn't go to that school.
They don't get their... That's so their arm doesn't get tired.
Oh, okay.
Waving at the masses.
You know, the common folk like us.
They're doing this the whole time.
Yeah.
Get tired very quick. So, okay. Mark, welcome to the
Mark,
show.
Mark, welcome. What do we want?
What
do you want to talk about?
What are you curious about today?
Thanks for having me. Well, you've answered one question, you know, about the princess wave. So I'm not curious about that anymore.
Okay, cool. Glad check.
So tell us about your books.
Oh, well, did you get a chance to read them?
I'm sorry, what?
Did you get a chance to read them?
I got through book one.
Okay. Book one, I ended up writing because of we were hiking Pike's Peak, a small group of us.
Yeah.
And I was kept talking to, her name's Kristen. And she's a physicist. And so I have all these science questions. She's actually an astrophysicist. So I kept asking her, you know, Star Trek questions I've had for a good 30 or 40 years.
Right.
And she was more than happy to tell me which ones can't work and which ones can. She told me a story about how she was on campus and was going to go out and get her drink on. And took a notebook with her to record everything she experienced drink by drink.
Okay.
And like a scientist would, I suppose, a drunk scientist. And
I'm looking for charts and Gantts and
right,
color coding.
Like laser pointers.
Right?
And
I'm looking for that.
Happened at 8:33.
Right? And then like here's like the Long Island iced tea and then all of the aftermath of that one. Okay, keep going.
Yeah. So I thought it was a great idea. And I asked her, you know, if I could use it for a book. And she said, yeah. She called the notebook her drunk log. So that's how I brought the book back here to Cincinnati.
Mark, what was your favorite thing that she shared about from her drunk log? What was your favorite thing she shared from her drunk log?
You talk about Kristen, the fact that she did it.
Okay, so you were just like overwhelmed with the general idea.
Yeah, I just thought.
And you got lost in the specifics.
I could sort of picture her sitting alone in a bar with a notebook going, another Manhattan, please.
Yeah.
And then writing about it. So.
So what did you feel like, was this a download inspiration to write a book? I mean, not many people go on a hike, ask a silly question, and then write a book. So what compelled you to actually put your own pen to pad?
I needed another book idea. I had a book out called Burning Buildings, which my agent had not found a publisher for. And then after a goodly amount of rejections, she goes, write another one. And so that happened to coincide with
Pike's that Peak. Trip.
Exactly. And so that was first. Drunk Log is actually the fourth book I've completed, first one professionally published. And it was, you know, it's just such a unique thing. And so I brought the idea back here to Cincinnati and talked to a writer friend of mine, a more experienced writer friend. He goes, well, you know, what's the story around it? You can't just have him sitting at a bar getting drunk, writing about it. And I'm thinking, and I thought, why can't I do that? But I came up with the story of Jack and Aria. Jack is a 30-year-old engineer responsible for the death of a 7-year-old nephew. And, you know, here's a great holiday story. Of course, a year after the accident, he decides to, he's going to throw himself off the Roebling suspension bridge over the Ohio River because he just can't stand the guilt and the pressure of it anymore. Yeah. And so the whole book is him going bar to bar, writing about his experiences with his nephew, his experience with his family, you know, that sort of a pan to his life to be left behind after he throws himself off the bridge.
Off the bridge, yeah, right.
Yeah.
So it's a really uplifting story that you brought out.
So uplifting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really, it's a good time of year to be reading Drunk Log, I think.
Well, you know, everybody gets super happy during the holidays, right?
Well, there's probably, we were talking about this in our earlier show, Kelly, where there's kind of two groups of people at this time of year. There's the people who just kind of consciously want to fall off the wagon and just let it all go. And then there's the other group of people who are, you know, intentionally trying to make the best of the end of the year so that
they
can move into the next chapter of their life.
And thank God that's over, crap.
Well, it was interesting. So just traveling, and I traveled with one of our partners, and she really is into Christmas. And I thought when she said it originally, I was like, okay. But to watch her light up thinking about Christmas, talking about Christmas, we were in a little town called Jerome, Arizona, and they had a Christmas store. And I remember driving in and I looked over and I was like, I'm gonna get you there. You need to go to that Christmas store and just have a lovely time. And even when we got to the hotel, she was excited because there was the Hallmark. I didn't realize Hallmark has like multiple channels for all the Christmas movies. And just looking over and seeing the joy that she had to be able to be filled with watching, going to the store and watching the films. It was just like, oh, I don't have that same calling to Christmas, but I was really honored to hold space and watch her have that delight and that glee. Just thought I'd share.
No, I personally love Christmas. Probably because it was the best part of my childhood.
Mm. You know?
But
so, what do you do these days, Mark, to celebrate Christmas? To celebrate, like, you know, hearkening back to your childhood. Do you do anything ceremonially?
Do you want a straight answer or the answer that popped into my head?
I want the one that popped in your head.
The answer that popped in my head is like, I get a fifth of Irish whiskey and I watch Love Actually.
Sweet. I bet you you're not alone in that.
Yeah. I'm like, there's no judging here. I think that's fantastic. But what's the politically correct answer?
Well, Christmas is, you know, I have a traditional Christmas where the kids come over and, you know, spend it with my mom lives a block from me down there. So, it's pretty standard fare, I suppose, would be the correct response. But, yeah.
So tell me why, bringing back to the books, because, again, your website is Mark chrisescottauthor.com. Just want to make sure that people can connect with you. And then you're
will be up and running soon.
Oh, it's okay. It'll be by the it'll be good. And then Facebook, your handle is Mark E. Scott Author. And the same thing with Instagram. So you stayed consistent. That's really nice.
I know. I thought about using a pen name, and James K. Rowling came to mind, thinking I could maybe ride that train, you know, accidentally. Somebody buys the book and then wonders where all the wizards are. But, you know, I went ahead to use my real name.
No, I think it's powerful. So why should people pick up these two books? Talk to us. And I know you're a little biased since they're from you, but there's talk to us.
Go ahead. The for me, and I don't want to sound egotistical, but I think Drunk Log came out surprisingly reflective, and I was parts that I weren't sure would work. You know, as I was writing them, worked in the whole. I hope you felt the same way, but it turned out to be a great. It turned out to be more than I thought it was going to be. I never really even expected Aria to. She was sort of a side character initially, right. Just the bartender. Then she loomed large, and I honestly don't know how that happened. She joined the story and then became, you know, half the story.
Half the story, right?
Yeah,
absolutely. It's just kind of coming in.
And I'd like to also say that, you know, just because the, you know, the main story arc is about a guy who wants to kill himself, there's still, it's still funny along the way.
Right. And then how is Cincinnati a character in the book?
Well, I live in the neighborhood where that story takes place. It's called Over the Rhine. And about 10 or 15 years ago, Over the Rhine was considered the most dangerous neighborhood in the country.
Oh, okay.
And a whole lot of people worked very hard to change that. And it's just a very cool place to be. Very easy to navigate and move around. And so I sort of made that the backdrop of the story that, you know, the two of them are going, you know, she's trying to chase him and he's going bar to bar, which is not hard to do in this neighborhood. It's, you don't have to look very far. So, but the architecture, you know, the Germans built this neighborhood about 160, 180 years ago. And there's 800 plus buildings on the historic register that can't be torn down because the architecture is so unique. And so you really get a sense of place when you're here. And that all you have to do is cross one street and the architecture changes. Mm. And so I love that sense of place and that it gave the story. Yeah.
So do you think we truly can change?
I used to not think that. And as I've gotten older, I've come to believe that we actually can. I mean, even serial killers generally stop killing around in their 40s, right? I just threw that out there pretty fast.
I was about to say, like, okay, that's heavy. So what, 40s? Is that just because they're bored, been there, done that? Or do they normally try to get caught? Like,
you know, who knows? Maybe they don't feel as, you know, I've never actually read why most serial killers tend to stop. It's like white men aged 20 to 40 something is that if you were, what do they call them? The cops who profilers.
That's why. Okay. Yeah, yeah. So are you giving some insight onto the third book?
No.
Okay. Just thought I'd ask.
No. The second book starts with, and you know, clearly they survive or else I couldn't have written it two more books, but the second book starts with them crawling out of the river and then dealing with the aftermath of their whole evening. At the end of the book, other than, so they only see each other at the beginning of the book and at the very end of the book. And then in book two, they are together nearly the entire time. And it's when they really start learning about each other through various and sundry adventures that they're having with the police, firemen, and hospital personnel.
So what have you learned by being, I mean, you present yourself as a novelist and a CFO. I mean, that is an interesting story right there, just by those titles. What did you learn during this process of writing? And again, you've had other books, and I think you have other books that are going to be calling to you and downloaded and coming through. What's your biggest learning by creating this, sharing it, and then birthing it into the world?
Fear, mostly. Mm-hmm. So
that's beautiful.
You know, once you put it out there, it's and that's it. So burning. I've been writing since I was 8. I tried my first novel when I was about 15. And then again, when I was 20 and I was in the service, but when I self-published Burning Buildings, and once I thought it was all done, I kept finding things I felt I needed to tweak, because it is hard to release it. It's hard to go, okay, this is it. This is it. And I'm not going to change this again. And, you know, if you put yourself into something like that, you're putting you out into the universe for anybody to critique, for anybody to judge in a way that we don't generally do. I mean, you guys are on, I put yourselves out every, you know, I don't know how often you do the podcast, but every time you're doing it, you're putting bits of yourself out in the ether,
right,
for anybody to say, oh, they suck, or they're awesome, or something in between. So yeah, I would say fear.
And that's all been said, like, right?
yeah. Right? I mean, I kind of had to I decided that I wouldn't allow that to stop me.
Good.
You know. So luckily the books have been well reviewed.
Absolutely. And they're easy.
Quite a bit of money to make that happen.
They're an easy read. You have a really beautiful writing style, and it's easy to get to get into the book and feel it. And actually, are you going to do audiobooks?
You know, that's an ongoing discussion. My publisher started off as an audiobook company. Hence the name Speaking Volumes. I don't know how many I need to sell before he's willing to invest the money into hiring somebody who can speak better than me.
Honestly, I was just about to say, I think you could do it. You have a great voice.
I'm doing this on purpose. Usually it's very squeaky. And
okay. There we go. Well, we are coming to the end of our time together, and I just really want to encourage people. There's a lot of books out there, and there's a lot of people that you can read their content. Mark is worth exploring, and I'm going to hold the books up again. Here's 2 of 3. Again, the third one's in the can. I just Cincinnati as a character of the book, talking about suicide, talking about how we impact each other. I mean, there's just so much that you can unwrap. These are great books, and I really, really invite people to share the time and invest in it and just jump into Drunk Log and First Date. You can get them on Amazon. And Mark's website, again, is markescottauthor.com. And if you want to find him on Facebook or Instagram, his handle is the same, Mark E. Scott Author. And thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Mark, for being here.
Thank you both. And I'm honored that you enjoyed them. Yeah.
And have fun. Happy holidays, everybody. I'm just kidding. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, guys.
Attention, curious practitioners in the realm of transformative experiences, holistic wellness, intuitive guidance, and metaphysical arts. Are you ready to expand your horizons and take your practice to new heights? Join the Edge Partner Directory, where your expertise can shine and your services can transform lives. We are dedicated to creating a community of practitioners who are as curious and passionate as you are about guiding others on their journeys of self-discovery, healing, and growth. As a member of the Edge Partner Directory, you will connect with a network of like-minded practitioners who share your curiosity and passion for exploring the depths of human potential, and showcase your unique offerings to a diverse audience of seekers actively looking for transformative experiences here, there, and everywhere. Embrace your curiosity and take the next step in your practice's journey to becoming an Edge Partner. Learn more at edgedirectory.net. Again, go to edgedirectory.net.
Is your space aligned with your dreams? Do you feel inspired when you walk in the door? Carol Hyder can help you create a space that you love, where you thrive, and where you always want to be. Using her 30 years of experience as a feng shui consultant, teacher, author, and trainer, she can help you bring forth the inspired essence of your home or office, making it a place where you feel whole and safe. Learn the specific feng shui adjustments that Carol has seen the most important, such as determining which room in your home should be your favorite, why your stove may be affecting your health, and why your office may be holding you back. Contact Carol at 612-760-1159 or carolhyder.com to discuss the specifics with a personal appointment. By elevating the energy of your space, it becomes sacred and you'll be forever changed. Discover more at carolhyder.com. That's CAROLEHYDER.com. Do you or someone in your family suffer from nightmares? Is your home cluttered and you can't seem to clear it out? Your home or office may have low vibrational energy, and it could be impacting you and your family. Using the ancient techniques of dowsing, Master Dowser Annette Regalo can raise the vibration of your home or office by identifying and curing stress lines and negative vortexes that may be creating disharmony in your home or office. Annette has over 20 years of dowsing experience and is passionate about creating high vibrational spaces for others to live and work. Contact Annette today at 612-394-3736 or AnnetteRegalo.com to schedule your free dowsing consultation. When you transform the energy of your environment, you transform your life. Remember, that's AnnetteRegalo.com. AnnetteRegalo.com.